I'd ask you to take your Bible this afternoon, if you would, and turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In just a few moments, we'll be reading that chapter. Again, 2 Peter chapter 2. I appreciate those who have offered and were ready to stand by in case my eye did not function, that you were willing to read for me this morning. Cynthia had said, you may need a reader. You know, years ago, a lot of the older fellows, they had readers. They would call upon somebody to read the text, and it would save his or her, save his voice and or eyes, too, I guess, in this situation. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, let's begin reading together verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained to covetous practices and are cursed children. They have forsaken the way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. And when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Let me say that most of the time, we don't like to talk about those who are false teachers. We don't want to give them any credit whatsoever for any doctrine that they might espouse, any doctrine that they might want to present. But I believe it is necessary from time to time for us to understand that there are false teachers. That there are false teachers And this chapter in 2 Peter 2 is going to, it's going to give us positive proof that they exist, what they do, the destruction that comes because of it, and what can come from us knowing that they're false teachers. Now, I have a question for you. Someone sent this to me not long ago, and I want to ask you what you think that is. Can you see it? I hear people, that's a snake. Are you sure? Are your eyes deceiving you? I want you to understand that's not a snake. You said you could surprise me. That's not a snake. That is a hawk moth. And you would never think that when you first saw it. And this is what it eventually looks like. It actually turns into something that is beautiful. But you were deceived there for a moment, weren't you? You thought that thing that we first showed, and we'll go back to it, you thought that was a snake. That moth is able to recreate itself to a degree, not recreate itself, but to move its body around to such a degree that it actually surprises other creatures, and most creatures are not going to bother that which they think to be a snake. But now, if it was still just that little hawk moth that we talked about, then everybody would want to eat up on it. Now, I say all of that to say what we're going to talk about today, and that is false teachers are that way. No false teacher that I know walks up and says, "Hey, I'm here. I am a false teacher. I want you to understand that I am a false teacher. I'm going to teach you error. I'm going to deceive you. I'm going to destroy you. And I'm going to bring you to the pits of hell before it's all over." You think about that. How many false teachers do you know? Somebody might say, "Well, I don't know that I've ever known a false teacher." Now let me ask you another question. Are there false teachers today in the kingdom of God? Are there false teachers in the body of Christ? We'll let you answer that in just a moment. There is, of course, the reality of false teachers. They do exist, and a careful study of our context that we read just a few moments ago in 2 Peter 2 and there verse 2, and verse 1 in particular, it says, "But." Notice that. But now what he has been doing is he's going to draw a contrast between those individuals who were holy men of God and how that they spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now he's going to show us that there has always been those individuals who would seek to deceive others. And he's going to talk about there were false prophets among the people, as we look at the text. That has reference to the Jewish people. Back during the time of the Jews, there were false teachers, they were deceptive teachers, and there were even those who wanted to be prophesied falsely unto. Can you imagine? How would you think, what would you think if I said to you, "I'm going to teach you error. I'm going to tell you everything you want to hear that is just so good, it's going to just tickle your little ears. It's just going to make you feel so good about yourself." I've heard on different occasions in different places where men and women go away and said, "Oh, he's such a good teacher. I mean, when we go away, we're just totally uplifted." But were they taught anything? Were their sins dealt with? Are they prepared to meet their God? You see, anybody can stand up. As Cynthia's dad used to say, anybody can stand up and have a flowery little speech. And in reality, it says nothing. No one feels any better. No one feels any worse. They just go away and say, "Wasn't that sweet? Wasn't that pretty?" But also he goes on to say that there shall be false teachers among you. There should be no surprise in that. As Paul even warned in Acts chapter 20, he said that there were those among the Ephesian elders that were going to draw men away. Here were men in authority of the church at Ephesus. Men who were supposed to be appointed by the Spirit, men who were supposed to be watching out for the flock. And here we find Paul saying to the elders at Ephesus, they're going to seek to destroy you. They're going to seek to destroy you. They're going to seek to deceive you. They're going to try to destroy the body of Christ there at Ephesus. Now, the question that must be asked is there any room for a false teacher here at Overland? Is it possible that somebody could come in and teach a false doctrine? I'm going to tell you that there is that possibility that somebody could come in and teach a false doctrine. Now, hopefully, because of our knowledge of the Scripture, as soon as he or she, if it's in a Bible class, as soon as that is presented, then there's going to be a multiplicity of people that's going to stand up and say, "Not here." But you've got to be alert constantly. You can never, never let your guard down. And so we have the reality of false teachers. Now, Peter goes on and tells us several different ways or several different reasons why false teachers exist. And one of the things he says is it is because of revenue. Revenue is defined as the gross income returned by an investment. These individuals are doing it because of what they can get out of it. As I heard one fellow say, "Well, after all is said and done, if I don't find a job, I can go into preaching." Now, he was in the wrong frame of mind when he made that statement. But I'm here to tell you that even today, there are preachers who preach because of revenue, because of monies. It didn't used to be a very profitable profession, if I can use it that way. In fact, years and years ago, preachers made very little. I can remember when I started preaching back in 1968 that I made $500 a month. Wasn't many people going into it then. As I had one fellow say, I wouldn't do anything for $500 a month. But now it is so where in a lot of cases where preachers are making anywhere from $50,000 to $120,000 and $30,000 a year. And so men, and unscrupulous men, can get in there and do it because of wealth. Because of wealth. It was through covetousness that these false teachers endeavored to make merchandise, as you look at verse 3 of chapter 2. They taught what they taught because they had hearts that were full of covetousness, as you look at verse 14 of the chapter that we read just a few moments ago. Their hearts were full of what? Their hearts were full of covetousness, and their attitude was like, and it gives us an example, their attitude was like the Old Testament prophet Balaam, who loved the wages of what? He loved the wages of unrighteousness. God would not give Balaam permission to curse the children of Israel. But Balaam worked it out, so he basically went up before Balak and said, "Now, off the record," and then he goes on and tells him that they can cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel and to eat those things that were sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. Why did he do that? Why did Balak do that? Or Balaam do that? Balaam loved money. And that's why you've got to be very careful when you hire someone to preach the gospel. You need to try to figure out what his attitude is. Is it because of the love of money, or is it because of the love of God? And again, many false teachers are only in it for the money, as 1 Timothy 6 and 5 points out very plainly, that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of it. And it even happens among those who would profess to be Christian. Teaching things which they ought, as Titus has written, Titus 1, 10 through 11, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. So there are men in the teaching profession, as far as in the religious world, that are doing it for just the money. But the second point that we would share with you is that there are those who do so, they exist because of rebellion. Look at verse 10 through 12. And especially those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these are like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own destruction. They're very presumptuous individuals. They're not willing to listen to anything or anyone. And they are also ravenous wolves. You know what a ravenous wolf is? He goes searching. He goes looking for innocent little creatures. And before you know it, he tears into them and he rips them apart. They're like natural brute beasts. And they speak of things that they do not understand and seek not to understand. So there are false teachers. They exist. And they exist because of the love of money. They exist because they want to do it their way. And they're not out to save souls. They're out to destroy the souls of men and women. And they have transformed themselves in the servants of righteousness. And all the while, people say, isn't he great? Did you hear what he said? Did you see, oh, how humble in spirit he is? You know, John wrote that we're to try the spirits to see if they are of God. I don't care how good a man may be. We need to keep trying him. We need to keep asking, is it according to the book? Never get so comfortable with the man that you accept what he says on the basis that he said it rather than he proved it. That's why elders have to be so very careful of men that they would hire locally or even in other areas, because these men have at their disposal the precious souls of men and women, young and old alike, who they can sway if the individuals listening are not careful. So, there are false teachers, and the reason they exist is because of revenue and rebellion. But there is what I call the recipe for becoming a false teacher. And the scriptures tell us, how can I know if David Lanius is a false teacher? How can I know Reuben Amador, who will be here next Sunday, is a false teacher? Or if he's a faithful teacher? What about all the other men that we invite to come in? What about the men and women that we have teaching our young people? Do we have a male or female within the congregation that we turn over the souls of young people? Are we that watchful? Are we that careful? It must have been something that was very important, because here Peter goes to a great length of dealing with the issue. And if it was an issue in the time of Peter, and the possibility of men coming in and destroying the faith of the faithful, then we must be aware of it as well here. So in this 2 Peter 2, it is going to give us a compelling description of how a false teacher operates. Now, I pray that no one wants to be one, but it is interesting sometimes when issues begin to affect our families. If we're not careful, we begin to change our views. It has been in recent years that preachers who taught the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, who stood firm for it, as soon as one of their daughters or sons divorced, then they began to talk about, I have restudied. Or preachers who have left their first wives, knowing they didn't have the right to do it, they go and remarry and say, I have restudied. And the truth of the matter is that they have become a false teacher. And we need to be aware of that. They repress their intentions. Look again at 2 Peter chapter 2 and there verse 1 and 3, where it says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and the destruction does not slumber." In other words, they're going to be working rather hard at what they are trying to do. They're going to bring in their heresies in a very private way. They're going to smuggle it in. And that's why we've always got to be alert. That's why we ought to always busy ourselves in the study of God's divine will. Know what God's Word says, because false teachers, as Jude referred to certain false teachers as those who crept in unaware, Jude 4. The less we know about the Word of God, the easier it is for a false teacher to come in. The more you know about the Word of God, they're not going to get in here. Do you understand what I'm saying? The more you know about the Word of God, false teachers don't stand a chance. They do their work with feigned words. Their arguments are made up and are artificial, like cunning devised fables, 2 Peter 1 and there verse 16. What are they trying to do? Though they will not admit it, they're trying to win souls to themselves and to their doctrine and to their way. They promise to deliver, but they cannot deliver. Have you ever been thirsty? Could I interest any of you in a little water right now? Is your throat just as dry as it could be? Well, I'm going to take a drink myself. Don't you think about that for a minute. Now, I could stand up here and say to you, if you're really thirsty, and I don't want to see half the congregation getting up and going back to the water coolers, but just by putting into your mind, you're probably feeling just a tad thirsty already. And I can promise you that this is full, and I'll be glad to give it to anybody who's real thirsty. But it's an empty bottle. I can remember in military life, traveling down dusty roads, our canteens were empty. And we needed water. We wanted water. And because we were on maneuvers, they'd say, "Well, it's just up the road a little bit." We'd get there, and it wasn't there. They had promised us that it was there, and it wasn't there. And that's what false teachers do. This health, wealth generation that we live in, when you listen to the false teachers, that they say that God is wanting all of us to be healthy and wealthy. There's nothing to that. Yet people are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. They portray themselves, these false teachers portray themselves as having the water of life. In essence, what they have is the water of death. Then he describes them as clouds that are carried with a tempest. How many times have you looked up to the clouds? Farmers in particular have looked up to the clouds, and there's a dark cloud, and you say, "Oh, great, great. The water's on the way. It's about to rain." And all of a sudden, a wind, strong wind comes and blows that cloud out of the way. It looked like much, but it had nothing whatsoever for the people. It's so important that we just not only listen to what someone says, but to ask the question, is it within their power to deliver it? And a lot of the things that are being promised to the people cannot and will not be delivered. It goes on to tell us in the text that these false teachers recruit their followers by enticing them to believe that pursuing their natural desires will fulfill them and make them happy. They speak in great swelling words of vanity. Oh, they're full of enthusiasm. They can run all over the pulpit. They can bang on the pulpit. They can raise their voice. They can lower their voice. But they have nothing in which to offer. You guys, brothers who preach, if you don't have something to say, don't say it.
You hear what I'm saying? On Wednesday night,
when you get the opportunity to do the invitation on Wednesday night, don't just say something. Have something to say. Have something that's going to benefit the listener. And don't try to entice him or her with great swelling words, a good little poem, a good little tidbit that came from grandma or whoever it might be. Have something to say. Have something to say. False teachers will tell you it's okay to sin. It's okay to fornicate. It's okay to lie. It's okay to do all those things that we said this morning that need to be put to death. So, we have the reality of the false teacher, the reason that they exist, and the recipe for becoming a false teacher. But now, what is the results of it? Everything has a result. Something comes from everything. False teaching produces many tragic results. These results are clearly identified in 2 Peter chapter 2. It results in the repudiation of Christ who died for us. Chapter 2 and there verse 1. Let's read that again. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. What is the result? There's going to be a denial of the death of Christ. A lot of people don't believe in the crucifixion of Christ anymore. A lot of people don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ anymore. Then it's going to result in many following after lasciviousness. 2 Peter chapter 2 and there verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Do you know that the majority of people are not going to go to heaven? We read the scripture, the straight and narrow way, and few there be that find it. Do you realize that the majority of people that you are associated with are not going to go to heaven? And many of the reasons that they're not going to go to heaven is because they have listened to false teachers. False teachers have deceived them into believing that there's an easier way than obedience. You don't have to keep anything. You don't have to do anything. Just believe in the Lord, and His grace is sufficient, and it will cover you. It results in the way of truth being evil spoken of. You stand for the truth. You stand for the truth and then listen as people began to mock you and put you down. You get retired when it comes time of the year, when it's time for prom, and you stand up and say, I'm not going to go, because it is against the truth. And all that lasciviousness, I'm not going to be around. They'll laugh at you. When it comes time for your wedding, girls, and I'm going to throw this in here. It comes time for your wedding. I don't want to be a part and will not be a part of any young lady who's going to show herself topside or bottom. I've really been upset recently in seeing some of the dresses that young girls are picking for their weddings, where their bosoms are showing and everything else almost. Now how did that come about? It came about because people began to say it was an okay thing. And so when somebody says, I can't wear that dress, I can't wear those shorts, I can't, you're going to be evil spoken of. And the reason that being is because there are those who stand in pulpits all over this world who say that there's nothing wrong with it. It will result in the damnation of the hearer and the practitioner. You hear a lie, believe a lie, and act upon a lie, that will lead to your disaster. That's exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 3, where Satan said to Eve, "Eat of it, you'll not die." She ate. She began to die. Brought sin into the world. And we've had to deal with it ever since. She heard a lie. She believed the lie. She followed the lie. And damnation came upon all mankind because of it. Paul wrote to the brethren at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12. That those who obey not the truth, he will send a strong delusion. He will allow you to believe a lie, to follow a lie. It's only obedience to the truth that can lead us to eternal life. You know, God also tells us it results in the corruption and damnation of those who teach it. These false teachers are going to bring swift destruction upon themselves. God does not lie. Every false teacher will meet the judgment of God. And it tells us that God did not spare the angels. If God did not spare the angels, He's not going to spare me. He's not going to spare you. And He's not going to spare your best friend who teaches error. Be it on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, whether there's a hell or not, and whatever other subject that you want to present there. When one teaches a damnable heresy, that individual will be lost eternally. And so what we must do, if we love that person that's teaching those heresies, then we must confront them and deal with them, hopefully for the salvation of their soul. Because God knows how to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment. Well, there is a remedy for false teaching. We've said a little bit about it all the way through. And the first thing is to remember the revelation of God. A few moments ago, Brian got up and told us why we were doing the memory class. And the reason that we're doing the memory class is so that we might become more aware of certain passages, internalize those passages, and help us in our proclamation of that truth. If we remember, going back to chapter 2, if we remember how the men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they taught the truth, then when you and I take to the book and we rightly divide the book, you know, one of the words that Peter uses throughout his writings is the word knowledge. Just look it up. The word knowledge. The more you know, the more you know, but it's not just enough to know it. The more you apply that which you know, more apt you're going to be able to grow. As newborn babes, we are to desire, as 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. We need to be like, more like the Bereans in that they search the Scriptures daily. That's why it is so important that, how many of you did not bring your Bible back this afternoon? How many of you didn't even show up with a Bible today? If you don't have the Word with you, how can you know if someone is teaching the truth or not? Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3 that the Word is inspired of God and that it perfectly, thoroughly furnishes a man to all good works. So the remedy for false teaching is to remember the revelation of God's will, to know it. But there's one other thing, and that is to remember my own redemption. And realize that I have been purchased with the price. And that I have all blessings in Christ Jesus. Remember, go back and remember the day in which you said, "I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." And the preacher or someone said, "Based upon that confession, I now baptize you into Christ for the remission of sins." If I were to remember the revelation, if I will remember my redemption, then false teachers have very little chance of getting next to me. But there's one other thing that I'd like to share with you, and that is that others have stood strong against false teaching. I am convinced that we are a strong congregation today at Overland, not just because of today and the present preacher and elders, but because of men and women who long ago stood up and stood firm and said, we want no modern innovations. We want the truth and nothing but the truth. And when they died and left this earth, and many have, they died with the hope that those who came after them would be just as strong as they were strong. So, remember, if you would, the revelation, the redemption, others have stood firm. Last but not least, remember the reward that is waiting the righteous. 2 Peter 1, if you would, and there verse 11 beginning. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly and to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding, bring to your remembrance. Don't forget, like the psalmist of old, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Psalms 119, verse 104 and 128. Could be a downer, I guess. But sometimes we need to hear the other side and know why we ask the question, where's the authority? Who gave us the right to sing as we sing, to pray as we pray, to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, to sing without the accompanying of mechanical instruments of music? The Lord did. The Lord has shown us the way. Don't, beloved, let any false teacher come in and destroy the way that Jesus Christ died for. I don't know that we have any false teachers here at Overland. I believe that if there were any, that we would confront you and confront you quickly. When somebody moves into the area, one of the things that we're concerned about, we want to know where you stand doctrinally. We'll ask you that. And if you don't stand doctrinally where you need to, then we'll ask you to repent and even let you know that you're not welcomed here, because we're not going to let false teaching become a part of this body of believers here. One of the things that's not false, and that is, if you're outside of Christ, you're lost and without God, without hope. And I hope that this is the afternoon that you will repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ. Be buried with Him. Have your sins washed away. Now you're ready to live for Him. You're ready to live in hope, and as Larry often prays, and die in it as well. All I can say is, I want to go home when this life is over. I believe you do too. Don't let anyone come in and pull that away from you. If you are a child of God and you've gone back into the world, then you need to once again reestablish your relationship with God the Father, asking Him to forgive you of any sin that might be in your life. Because, beloved, let's go home. Let's go be with God forever and ever. Think of that while we stand as we sing.